Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Train your body. Here's exercise physiologist Melanie Cole, MS.
If you ask a bunch of different people questions about protein powders and protein bars and supplements and what will help you get the most from your workout, you're going to get so many different answers. You're just not even going to know what to think. I still don't know what to think, and I know a lot about this stuff, but we're going to find out what to think today. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Sajcek. She is an associate professor of nutrition at the Friedman School of Nutrition and Science at Tufts University. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sajcek. So, protein drinks.
Thanks for having
protein
me.
Powder as well. Thank you for being here. You know, this is a huge topic. People that are trying to build muscle love these protein powders, but some parents I talk to even like to put them in their smoothies for their kids to help them get that little shot of protein in the morning. What do you think about them?
Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about the protein and the American diet. I mean, I think a lot of ways, you know, a lot of ways to slice and dice it. But first, I think people need to have the perspective in place that most Americans consume the RDA for protein, which is 0.8 grams per kilogram of body weight, which is basically most of us are consuming around 100 grams of protein per day for our body weight, which is perfectly fine. And then if you're an athlete or you exercise a lot, those requirements will go up, you know, by another 25% or even twofold, depending on what type of athlete you are. But the focus out there has really been protein, protein, protein. Carbs are bad. Protein's great. And I think people need to understand that protein is utilized for muscles and muscle growth and, you know, repairing broken tissue, but it's not necessarily an energy source. So we can take in as much as we need for growth and repair, but if we take in too much, it's just like any type of calorie. It gets converted to fat. You know, it's extra calories in our diet that's not needed. So when we are, you know, putting, you know, a spoonful in a whey protein into a smoothie, is that enough? Oh, maybe we'll need put two more scoops in is not the way someone should approach it. You know, it's something that I think people need to take perspective on what type of, you know, exerciser, athlete or sedentary individual they are before they start lumping on the protein.
So you mentioned whey protein. If we are going to mm-hmm. add a little protein to a smoothie or, you know, mm-hmm. and you say one scoop good, five scoops better, what do you like as far as the different types of protein? Is there a difference yeah. in the way those proteins react in our body? Because we hear a lot about soy. Jen, yep. we hear things about soy protein versus whey protein. What do you think about some of these?
Yeah, so I think people need to understand is the three main types that you mentioned. There's whey protein, which is a byproduct of, you know, in the cheese-making process. Dairy, milk, by current estimates, is about 20% whey protein, and then the rest is casein protein. And the body treats them differently. What's great about whey protein, it's really high in the amino acid leucine, which if you looked in any molecular studies and muscle building studies looking at protein synthesis in the muscles, leucine is that trigger that helps with synthesis. But soy also has leucine in it. So you have three types of protein that all do different things. Whey is very fast digesting. So taking in a smoothie that has added whey protein after exercise, it's going to be quickly digested and absorbed. That leucine is quickly, you know, brought into the muscles and it's there for synthesis. Soy, you know, is that protein is directed less so to the muscles, but around, you know, your intestinal area. So it might not be the best for muscle building, but it's, you know, it's second best to whey protein. And then casein is a little slower digesting, but it's there longer term and might be good actually in studies shown to actually slow down protein breakdown, which is also occurring while we're building. We're also breaking down always. So I think people shouldn't just fixate on one type of protein, but understand that all types of protein have different benefits for different body tissues. And how they get it, if it's in a supplemental form, is also something just, you know, buyer beware, because as you know, that supplements aren't regulated closely by the FDA or the USDA, and sometimes it might say it has X amount of something in it, and it might not. So, you know, you eat a tomato, you know it's a tomato, but sometimes you eat a powder, and how do you know what's really whey powder? So I think people need to, you know, be concerned about that, but sometimes it might be better just to eat the foods first.
Okay, great. And you know, you're one of the first guests we've had in a very long time that has really set out the different types of protein. I appreciate that. That was very well spoken. So when we're talking about protein, getting it from our diets, being certainly the best way. You know, our good quality proteins, eggs and fish and, you know, chickens, our lean meats and that sort of thing. There are other drinks on the market, you know, that people try besides just the protein drinks. There are so many energy drinks on the market as well that say that they contain what you need, the supplements, the vitamins, the antioxidants, the all-natural ones. What do we think about those?
Yeah, so I fundamentally, you know, I think drinking calories after exhaustive exercise longer than an hour is a quick way to get things into your system for rebuilding and repair. But I think the smoothie juices market has really descended upon the United States in a fierce way, and such that, you know, first when you drink your calories, I think people, even if it's, you know, grind up, you know, 2 pounds of kale, you know, with some strawberries and some whey protein, it's super healthy, right? Very nutrient dense. You grind it up, you pulverize it. The fiber, you know, is pulverized. You digest and absorb that very quickly. You can pound 500 calories of that quite quickly. And the satiety signals in the brain don't go off in the same way when you don't chew a food versus drink a food, you know, drink the foods in a smoothie form. And I think that ties into satiety. You never sit down and eat 2 pounds of kale and you'd be able to get through it without feeling full or I'm done. So I think sometimes you might take in extra calories. I think that things that are highly processed, you'd always rather eat food first. And then, you know, people saying you need a dab of this or a dab of that, if it's all natural supplement, you know, arsenic is all natural. You know, it's just, I think that people, if they're eating it in a food form, they're going to get things put in a natural combination that's going to probably work more effectively than something that's synthesized into a supplemental or powder form. So try to do that first. Clearly, if you're deficient in something and your doctor says, look, you might need to take vitamin D or something like that, that's a different story. But always try to go with the foods. And if you can chew it and enjoy it, I don't know, food is culturally pleasing. So try to do that first.
Absolutely true. And as you said, check with your doctor. If there is something you're truly deficient in, then it's okay to supplement these things or to do, you know, if you have to take extra vitamin D or if you had to take something along those lines to get that in that way. And if we were going to eat the highest quality meal, for example, for breakfast, and then we were going to go work out, what's your best advice?
So I think that if you, you know, timing is essential. So, you know, let's say you were going to eat a, you know, a really healthy lunch and, you know, best case scenario, you had the money and the resources in hand to have, you know, your spinach, quinoa, salmon, salad for lunch, right? And, you know, that is really nutrient dense, high in protein. You know, optimally you need a couple hours before you work out for that to be bioavailable. You want to get it out of your GI tract and into your system, replenish your glycogen stores and make it high energy. But then, you know, if you work out hard for over an hour, you know, hour and a half, sure, it's great to have something high in, you know, wholesome carbohydrates with a little bit of protein to replenish the muscle glycogen that was burned and lost, so you want to replenish that. And then also, the study after study has shown if it has a little bit of protein, those receptors in your muscles that are, you know, really looking for the sugar back, that they're going to take it up much more readily if there's some protein there. So that can be, for some people, they've gone to chocolate milk for that reason, but other people could easily find that in, you know, a turkey sandwich or some, you know, healthy yogurt with some fruit and almonds. It comes in a lot of forms. And, you know, if you work out less than an hour, you know, you probably don't need to replenish right away. You could have a drink and then go home and eat a healthy meal. You don't feel like you need to turn to a bar or something that's synthesized for post-exercise workout.
Great advice. Thank you so much, Dr. Jennifer Sacek. We're talking here about protein, protein bars, protein drinks. And if you missed any of the great information that we're giving here, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. You're listening to Train Your Body, Motivate and Perform with the American College of Sports Medicine right here on the award-winning Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned and stay well.